Today's Shir Masechta Bava Daf Mem Aleph. We will begin on Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph at the top of the Amud at the Mishnah. It says the Mishnah, Shor Shenagach Adam, if an animal attacked the person, mace, and the person passes away, Muad Mishalm Kaifer, if he was a Muad, the Aloch is that you would pay Kaifer, Tam, Potter, the Aloch is if it was a Tam, then the halacha is that you don't have to pay kaifer v'zeh v'zeh, and both of these cases, whether the animal that attacked was a tam and a mu'ud, or a mu'ud, the animal is chayv misa, the animal must be killed. So the Farshim asks that this Mishnah seems to be superfluous. The halachas that we learned in the Mishnah are explicit psukim in the Torah. So the Cheshek Shloima explains that the Mishnah is coming to teach us that even in a case where it was the intention of the animal to kill another animal, instead of killing another animal, the animal killed a person, the halacha is that there's a chiyuv kaifer. Another pshat is a subject that we touched upon in our previous year, and we're going to speak about again, and that is the question of a tam. Does a tam pay chatzi kaifer? From our Mishnah, it's pretty clear that the tam does not pay kaifer. What do we learn about the Mishnah teaching us chayiv misa? So the Cheshek Shloima says that we learn from our Mishnah that the chiyuv for kaifer and the chiyuv of killing the animal travel together. And when the animal is killed, that's when it's going to be chayiv. That's going to be the case where it's chayiv for misa and kaifer together. And as the Ramban says, that we know that when we speak about a person doing a damage, he says, what is the Mishnah teaching us? We know that when a person does an avera, which comes to punishment, we always apply the concept of kimleib de rabbanei. Our Mishnah is teaching us that we don't say kimleib de rabbanei by an animal. An animal will be killed, and even though the animal is being killed, they still have to pay the kaifer. V'chein, b'ben or b'bas, the same halacha will be that if they kill the ben or a bas, a boy or a girl, a young boy, a young girl, the same halachas will apply. And the Nemukah Yosef explains that even though these people that were killed were ketanim, and ketanim are not chayiv b'mitzvahs, so we would think that only when the victim is someone who's already obligated in a mitzvah, and now by the animal killing that individual, we lost that, we were deprived of those mitzvahs, that's when there's a chayiv for kaifer. But if it's not that way, maybe there shouldn't be a chayiv kaifer. Teaches us our Mishnah that there is a chayiv kaifer. However, says the Nemukah Yosef, that the children we speak about have to be at least 30 days old. But if they're not 30 days old, or they were born prematurely, and in all these cases that there's a question if he's a nafel or not, the child is a nafel, then there wouldn't be a chiyuv kaifer. However, there Yamsha Shloima disagrees, and he says that even if the victim was a child that's just 1 day old, but we know that this child is a child that came to full term. And since this child came to full term, there's no reason to be concerned that this child is a nafel. Says the Yamsha Shloima, if that child, Rechamonim Mitzlan, is the victim, the halacha is that one is chayiv to pay kaifer. Says the Mishnah, Nagach Ever Amma, if the shor attacked an Ever Kanani or Shifcha Kananis, Noisin Shloshim Skolim. So then there's a new din that you have to pay Shloshim Skolim. And says the Mishnah, that rule applies. Bein Shuyofa Meimana. It doesn't make a difference what the actual value of that Ever Kanani is or isn't. Bein Shuyofa Meimana, whether the Ever Kanani is worth Meimana, Bein Shuyofa El Denachar, or if he's only worth one dinner, the halacha will always remain the same, that you have to pay the set fee. Miri points out that this halacha of Shloshim Shalevet, the din that the Torah says you always pay the Shloshim, is only in a case of a Mu'ud. A Tam doesn't have to pay Kaifer, but the Rambam says that even though the din of Kaifer, which as we learn is the value of the Mazik, or the value of the Nizik, that you don't have to pay by a Tam, but the Rambam says you have to pay the Chatzi Nizik. It's no different than whenever you pay, when a Tam does damage, you have to pay Chatzi Nizik. Says the Gemara, V'achem Metam, Ketlina La, so ask the Gemara an obvious question. If the halacha is that if a Tam killed somebody, the Mishnah taught us, that Tam has to be put to death, so ask the Gemara, Mu'ud Hechem Shkachsla, how can we ever have a case if that it should become a Mu'ud? Already after it killed somebody, the first time it's put to death. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava, Hachem Ma'iskinen, we're speaking about a case, Shamdua L'Shlosh B'nai Adam, we saw that this animal was chasing a person three times, and if not for the fact that this person had been able to escape, the person wouldn't have made it, and therefore it's enough to make him into a tam. But we don't kill the animal because the animal actually did not kill someone. Until the animal actually kills someone, it's not put to death. And as the Rishonim, as the Rashba points out, even though that it ran after three people, but because it didn't actually succeed in killing the people, that's why the animal's not put to death. But says the Rashba, the halacha still will remain that we have to come to Beis Din after every one of these situations and tell Beis Din what happened. Because as we've been learning throughout our Masechta, an animal cannot become a mu'ud without testimony in Beis Din. Says the Gemara to this answer, Rav Ashi Amar, Umdan Alav Klamhu. The fact that it seems that it would have killed a person three times is meaningless. If it didn't kill, it's not a mu'ud. Rather, says the Gemara, Alach Ma'iskinen, Shesikein Shlosh Mei Adam, it indeed did attack three times people, but they did not die. And now they all eventually die. And that's when the animal did the fourth attack. Rav Zvid says, it's talking about a case, Kugon Shaharik Shlosh Behemoth. So it is a mu'ud, but even though it's a mu'ud, it's not a mu'ud to get killed, because they're not killed people. That killed animals. Ask the Gemara, the mu'ud l'behema have a mu'ud l'adam. If an animal killed animals, that doesn't make it an animal. Doesn't make it an animal that we consider a mu'ud for killing people. Says the Gemara, elam amar of sinim. But what is the case of our Mishnah? Kigoyin shaharik shlosh av kachavim. It killed three akum, and therefore the halacha is that the animal is not put to death. The animal is only put to death when it kills a person, a Yisrael. Didn't kill a Yisrael, but it does become a mu'ud. Ask the Gemara, how can we give such an answer? The mu'ud lo'ivik achavim have a mu'ud l'Yisrael. If it became a mu'ud to kill Akum, doesn't make it a mu'ud for Yisrael. Elam Rishim Lakish, Kigoyin Shaharik Shlosh Bnei Adam Treifa. The three people that it killed were Treifa, people that had a defect that they could not survive, and therefore we don't kill the animal for that reason, because it didn't kill a person that was viable. The Gemara often uses the wording gavra katila kotel. The person that was killed was the halacha uses a dead person, but it's enough to make him into a mu'ud. The Bnei Yeshua explains the Gemara just taught us that if an animal is a mu'ud for Avik Chavim, it doesn't become a mu'ud for Yisrael. Explains the Pnei Yeshua, because there's a different type of mazel for Yisrael than there is for Akum. And we often in our Masechta have indicated that that's an important component in the discussion of a person getting damaged versus an animal getting damaged. And not just do we make that differentiation between a person and a not a living person, but that difference is also expressed between a Yisrael and an Akum. El Amar Papa, the case was the Kotl V'Arik L'Agma, the animal killed, and then it ran away, the Kotl V'Arik L'Agma, and therefore they couldn't kill the animal because it had run away. Rav Achrei Dervik Amar was speaking about a case, Kigon Shehuzma Zaymimei Zaymimim. There was an attack. Adam came that this animal killed someone, and the Beis Din said that the animal should be killed. But before Beis Din would kill the animal, other Adam came up, and they said that the first Adam are Adam Zaymimim, which we often discuss in Shas, which means that they say, your testimony cannot possibly be true because Imanim Hayisem, you were with us elsewhere. And the Torah tells us a halacha that in such a situation, the Edom who say Imanu Hayisem are the Edom we believe. And this happened three times. So three times we went through the entire process of making this animal in Talmud. But every time the animal was actually the last moment not labeled a Mu'ud because the Edom that was saying this testimony were identified as Edom Zaymimim. But then what happened was that another pair of Edom came and said that all these people who had made this claim of Imanu Hayisem were lying. And the halacha in Edom Zaymimim is we always follow the last testimony. Since we follow the last testimony, the testimony, this reinstates the original testimony of the Edom. So we had three, now we have three episodes with Edom where the animal was declared a mu'ud. So we never actually killed the animal. We had never actually killed the animal because of the Edom Zaymimim. But now all of these Edom who had been identified as Edom Zaymimim, that fell away. And now we have an animal that had done damage, that had done this three times, but had never been killed because of the circumstances. But ask the Gemara, is this going to be a fair approach? The question is, what is the purpose of having these three testimonies that make the animal Talmud? If the purpose is that this animal did this type of an activity three times and was now made into and now it becomes a mu'ud. So that is exactly what happened in this case. However, Shapur, Ella, if we say the purpose of this process of how we make an animal into a mu'ud is liyudi gavrbinin, that the purpose is that the owner of the animal should know that he has an animal which is a mu'ud and he has to properly watch it because of its nature, Neima Amar, he could say, it only since this only happened just now, there were not three separate situations there weren't three separate situations where this happened. Since there weren't three separate situations where this happened, then he says, I didn't get the proper warning. I wasn't adequately prepared to know that it's a mu'ud. Answers the Gemara, Kigoyin de Amri, the Edom, the last Edom said, Kol Amos the Kotel Turei, whenever this animal killed, not only are we saying that we know that the Edom who said that he did do these attacks are saying the truth, but we're also saying that Gabei Havakoi, the owner was there. And since the owner was there, that then the owner can't claim, well, I didn't know I had this problem with my animal. Because we know that the owner was there every time. Ravida Amar was speaking about a case with Makinas Balashar. The Edom are coming to say that we know this owner has an animal that's dangerous. However, we weren't able to identify which specific animal amongst all of his animals. And therefore, now, after this happened three times, we were successful at identifying that this is the animal that did the damage. But ask the Gemara, if the Edom weren't able to identify which was the animal that is the actual mu'ud, why it's a mu'ud. Why would the animal, after it's ultimately identified as the mu'ud, become a mu'ud? We weren't able to identify it until this moment, says the Gemara Mishum de Amrilei. Bezdin tells the owner of this animal, maybe we weren't able to identify which was the dangerous animal, but we know that you have Tur Nagachna Isla B'Kabarcha. You owned a dangerous animal. And if you know you have a dangerous animal in your possession, and just we then aren't able to identify exactly which is that animal, so then the halacha requires Ibaila and Turi Kulabakra, you should watch all your animals. You don't have an excuse. And that's the case how we have an animal that was a tam and then became a mu'ud and had killed many people and still had not been killed. Another, the Minchas Chinuch gives different answers that the Gemara could have proposed. One answer the Minchas Chinuch gives is that the halacha is that in order to paskin, in order to determine that the animal is chai misa, you need a bezdin of 23. But to accept testimony that is a mu'ud, the bezdin of 3 is satisfactory. That's what happened here. Three times where Adam came to bezdin to say that it's a mu'ud, but it wasn't killed because it wasn't brought to a bezdin of 23. Another case is when the person that was killed was a Suffolk Trefa. And if the person, as we learned earlier, if the victim was a Trefa, then the animal will not be killed. But then the victim survived for 12 months. Once we see that the victim survived for 12 months, we know that he's not a Trefa. Once we know that he's not a Trefa, then only later can we determine there was a mu'ud. That act was an act of a mu'ud. We learned in the Mishnah Zevezeh Chayov Misa that in all cases, the animal, whether it's a tam or mu'ud, is chayv misa if it killed someone. Tana Rabbanan, the pasuk says, V'ki achshar es ish o es ishu v'meis, sakla yisakla ashar, v'lo yoichal es besaroi, u'baal ashar noki. So ask the Gemara, V'mashah shenem esakla yisakla ashar, once the Torah Kedoshah says that this animal should be killed, any day, so an animal that's killed is obviously any day shnevela. Obviously, it's a nevela, and we know that nevela is a surah b'achila. So why was the Torah have to tell us the lo yachlas b'sarai, lo yachlas mat hamaloyma lo yachlas b'sara? And says the Brice Magal the Kosef shem shachter lachish nigav adinoi that Bezdin paskin the tzchayiv to be killed, and then before Bezdin actually killed it, somebody went and shechted it. The halacha is that it's also b'skil, that also b'chila may still not be eaten. Only al b'chila, that only teaches us that you may not eat it. By Norminein, how we know we may not have any benefit from it? Tamaloymer, baal asham noki. Ask them, what does that mean? My mashma, Shimon ben Zoyma, Aymer, Kadim Shamal Chaveroi. It's like somebody said to somebody else, Yotze ish ploini nokim l'chosef. The person went out, wiped out from this, from his assets, from the steel, so Rekiva says that why would the halacha be if somebody did shecht the animal with, even though it should have been killed? So Rekiva Eger points out that it would be mutter, that there's a nafkmina between a nevela and a trefa. A nevela gives off tumah, a trefa doesn't give off tumah. And therefore, it would accomplish that the halacha is that you would be able to that if somebody came in contact with it, he would not be a trefa, and not be tameh because it's not an avela. Tosfos quotes Rebbeinu Tam that this halacha that it's also b'hanor that the Gemara just taught us is only after the animal was actually killed, but as long as the animal is alive, even though it's been determined that it's supposed to be killed, still says Tosfos that it's not osbano, and you could drink the milk from this animal, and you could have the wool from the shearings of the animal. So our Gemara just said Naki yil abesai. Naki, that the animal, this person, balashar naki. And we learned naki means that he should be completely absolved. He walked out empty. So I saw that the Slonim Rebbe in the Sefer, the Siva Shalom, explains, how do we understand the wording of the Gemara? Where else do we find similar wording? He says, we find similar wording when the Torah speaks about a couple getting married. The Pasuk says, Dabnoki Yel Abesai. And what we learn from there is that when a person gets married, Noki Yel Abesai, he has to take away all other considerations, and the only thing that he should be allowed to do, the only thing he should be doing is devoted to Hashem and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Mefarshim say, we just discussed that the animal was slaughtered. What happens if somebody would slaughter the animal that was supposed to be killed? And the question was, as we discussed, would the Shechita accomplish anything? So I saw the Mefarshim ask, isn't it, and we learned, Kivega taught us that the Shechita does accomplish something. What the Shechita accomplishes, that the animal is a treif and not an avela. But isn't there a rule that kol masadam rachmana leisavid, anything that the Torah told us not to do, Iovid, if you do it lemahani, becomes meaningless. So if the Torah says, kill the animal, don't shech the animal, why would that Shechita have any value? So they say that this rule is only where the Torah says a mitzvah to kill the animal. The halach here, the halach is that the Torah says we should kill the animal, but there's no lav involved. And since there's no lav involved, we don't have the rule of kol milsav amar rachmana leisavid yavid loy mahani. Ask the Gemara. Umayd lo yachlus b'soroi. Who says that the way to understand the pasuk is like the shach the achshenig medinoi, that the Torah is teaching us that if you shechted it after it was sentenced to death, also bechilo. Ema, maybe, perhaps, if you shechted it after it was determined to be killed, would be you would be allowed to eat it. When is it speaking about? That if you did indeed kill it, that the osva nahu, it will be osva nahu, and we can learn that from what Rav Avua said. Whenever the Torah uses that kind of a wording, echad es achila, vechad es anah mashma, Torah means you may not eat it, you may not have any benefit. Ach yosch la kosef, until the Torah says, ach yosch paroch ben avela, the way the Torah says you're not allowed to eat it in the avela, but you're allowed to have anah from avela. Lo ger ben asina, the loch is you're allowed to give the avela to a ger, or lo avikachovim, the mechira you could sell to him. So we say that the layoichel is coming to tell us that after we kill the animal, we can't have a no. But who says that if we shechted it before, we couldn't be able to eat it? Amri, says the Gemara, Hani Mili, when does Rebbe Vua say that layoichel means that you can't have a no? Hani Mili, hech de nofilei is achil vis a no, mikrom layoichel. When the Torah says layoichel, then we'll say that it means everything. Avul hocha, this achila, that you may not eat it, misakul yisakul nafka. We already know that you killed it. If you killed it, you can't eat it. You didn't shecht it. Isakadatach. So if all la yoichel is coming to teach us, is to teach us that you're not allowed to have anah, not to teach us also the din of achila, because the din of achila I know anyway, so then why didn't the Torah say lo yehena explicitly? Inami, la yoichel, if the Torah were just coming to teach us that you can't have hanor on the shor neskel, es besar lomeli, it would be sufficient that the Torah should say just the words lo yoichel, which Rav Avuah is indeed teaching us, means that you're not allowed to have hanor. But why did the Torah add the word es besar lomeli to teach us davgav da avdei ein basar? You treated it like you treat all other pieces of meat. That you mean that you shechted it. Dafgav the ayav that came basar, the shechted that you shechted it, it's asur. It's interesting this question. We know that whenever the Torah speaks about issa achila, the shear of issa achila is a kezayis. What is the shear of Issa Hanoa? The Tzlach's opinion is that just like Issa Achila is a Kazayas, so too Issa Hanoa is a Kazayas. Rabbi Kiva Eger says that Hanoa is not measured with a Kazayas. He explains a Kazayas is a measurement that's used for eating. And the halacha throughout Shas is that a kazayas is considered so that you ate. When you ate a kazayas, it means you ate. When you eat less than a kazayas, it means you didn't really eat. However, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, hano is nothing to do with eating. And therefore, Rabbi Kiva Eger says that hano is measured with a shava pruta, not with a kazayas. Says the Gemara, maskla mazutra. Ema, maybe we should say, Hanimili, maybe what the Torah is saying is, we know that technically, to shecht an animal, we could use a knife, which is what is typically used, or you could use anything sharp. So maybe if you took a stone and you shechted the animal, so using a stone to shecht an animal is similar to skila. That's where the halacha will be, that if you kill this animal with a sharp stone, that the animal that was chayiv misa would be osbano. But perhaps, heiched the shachti b'sakin, if you shechted the animal with a knife, which is not similar to skila at all, loy, it won't be osbachila. Amri, says the Gemara, where do you take this type of a line of reasoning that there's a difference between shechting an animal with a knife or shechting an animal with a stone? It's not like the Torah says you should use a knife or a stone. But Tanan, as the Mishnah Masechta Chulin Daf Tezvav Amabez teaches us, Hashoich b'magli yad, if somebody uses a sickle, b'tzor, a sharp stone, b'kana, a sharp reed, shchitasik sheira. So there's no basis to differentiate between different types of shchita. Ask the Gemara, v'hasid nafklei isachil v'sanom lo yechos b'saroi, that we're not, that the Torah said, lo yoichel. It comes to teach us that you can't eat from this animal. You can't have any benefit from the animal. So ask the Gemara, Bala Shanoki, which we explained earlier means that he's completely wiped out from this animal. Lomeli, what does that come to teach us? Says the Gemara, it comes to teach us, la nos oiro, that this animal that was killed, you may not have any benefit from its hide. The Salkadat Chamina, we would maybe suggest, Besoiro hudas bano. Its meat is osbano. Aval oiroi nishtabano. One may have benefit from its hide. Kamash malon, that's what the pasuk Baal Shah Naki means, that you can't have any hano from the hide either. Ask the Gemara. Ulanach tanoi. The mafgalei Baal Shah Naki adrisha china. Kremina meimil kamon. Those that use this pasuk for another purpose. So Hanoros Oira Minoloi, how will they know that you can't have any benefit from the hide of the animal? And so the Gemara, Nafgalu, from the word Espesoroi. To teach us what does Espesoroi mean? Esa Tafel Psoroi, what's secondary to the meat. And what is secondary to the meat? Mainiu Oira its hide. The Haitana, and the other mandam that used Balashar Noki to teach us that you can't have any Anor from the hide. Why does he learn it from Es? Esloi Darsh. He doesn't explain the word S that's used in the Torah. Based on a famous brayse, Ketanya. Shimon HaMasani, Vamalem Nechenya HaMasani, HaYudarish Kolesin Shem HaTorah. He explained whenever the Torah used the word S. Kiva and Shigil S Hashem HaKachatira. What are we going to learn from the S? Pirish. And he said, I give up on explaining Esin. And Omloi Talmidov. And his Talmidim said to him, Rebbe, call Essen, Shadrash the Mateleim. What's going to be with all the Essen that you explained? Amalem, so he said, Kshem Shigbal Tischar al Drisha. Just like I got Schar, that I always explained what to learn from the word S that's used in the Torah. Kach Kibal Tischar al Prisha. Now I back off. I realize I might be wrong. Achibar of Kiva Velimeid, Es Hashem al Kachatira. We learn from Es Hashem al Kachatira to teach us. The rabbis told me to chamim that we have to have fear from your Rebbe. Which means, as we know, Rashi says, La Yamid becoming, we're not allowed to stand in a Rebbe's place. La Yesh becoming, we're not allowed to sit on a seat. We're not allowed to contradict him. And moreover, this halacha is only by somebody who's a goladar, a great leader of Klal Yisrael, or your Rebbe Muvik. Everyone else, you have to show respect, of course, but this level of Yira, if the level of Yira doesn't apply to all other Talmidei Chachamim. The Panim Yafis says that what was the machlokes here between Shimon Hamsoni and Rekiva? Shimon Hamsoni, he says, did not want to explain the pasuk to Rabbis Talmidei Chachamim because he considered it a degradation in our respect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, Rekiva taught us, Rekiva experienced, we know about the Talmidim of Rabbi Kiva that died. So he explained, Rabbi Kiva recognized how much it means to not show proper respect to another Talmid Chacham. What happens when that happens? And that's why Rabbi Kiva felt comfortable, says the Panim Yafis, in explaining as to Rabbis Talmid Chacham. The Hafla has a different approach to this Gemara. He said that Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shimon Hamsoni had a much more fundamental machlokes. Shimon Hamsoni was concerned that if we're going to say Es Hashem Elokecha Tira L'Rabbis Talmid Chachamim, people are going to say that what he's saying is very self-serving. What he's trying to accomplish here is he was obviously a Talmid Chacham, he was a great Torah leader, and he's going to say, people are going to say, yeah, I'm saying it because I want to get honor. And Rabbi Kiva said that even though that is a fair consideration, he said, I think that the importance of showing Yirat Talmid Chacham is more important than the concern of how people are going to think about Talmid Chachamim. And that was the basis of the Machloikus. Another pshat that I saw is Rabbi Kiva was the one that was very, along the same lines, that was very into showing Kavod for Talmid Chachamim. We know Rabbi Kiva came after 24 years that he was separated from his family with all of those Talmidim, and there was a tremendous time of Kavod HaTorah. Rabbi Kiva was very important. It was very important to Rabbi Kiva to show the importance of Talmid Chachamim. Another pshat that the Ben Ishchai says that actually Shimon Hamsoni does agree with Rabbi Kiva, but because Rabbi Kiva, we know, started off as an Amoritz, we know Rabbi Kiva says about himself, "Kshiyisi Amoritz, when I was an Amoritz, Hayisi Oim, I used to say, Meitin li Talmid Chacham, give me a Talmid Chacham." And then Rabbi Kiva turned his life around. And since he turned his life around and became aware of what a Talmid Chacham is, that's why he said they waited for Rabbi Kiva to give him the opportunity to say this drasha, the Rabbis Talmid Chacham. Another pshat that I saw that L'Rabbis Talmid Chachamim is that what Rabbi Kiva was saying is that Ma Hashem Shoyel Me'ach. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu ask from us? Ki'im Liras Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks for us to have Yerushamayim. How do we achieve Yerushamayim? So Rabbi Kiva taught us the key to coming to Yerushamayim is by having respect for Talmid Chachamim. The Kotzker explains, L'Rabbis Talmid Chachamim, what was meant to show is that L'Rabbis Talmid Chachamim, that even Talmid Chachamim have to show respect to each other. Rav Gifter Zatzal, when he was learning Torah in Lithuania before the war, had a friend from the United States who was getting married. His friend from the United States who was getting married was Rav Avigdor Miller Zatzal. And he traveled. So Rav Gifter was learning in Telz, Rav Miller was learning in Slobodka, and Rav Avigdor Miller got married in a town in Lithuania called Vinuta. And Rav Gifta went to attend the wedding. The Rav of the town spoke at the wedding, and the Rav of the town spoke about this Gemara and asked the question. We see in our Gemara, Bekiva is not bothered by saying Es l'Rabbis Talmid Chachamim, and Rav Shimon HaMassani did not explain Es Hashem L'Kecha l'Rabbis Talmid Chachamim. So he explained that what happened was, as is clear in our Gemara, Shimon HaMassani was an individual who had spent his entire life, Kol Eser Shebatayra, always explaining the word S that's written in the Torah. And here, what happened? He gets to the words of Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, and he doesn't know what to do with that S. So what did he do? He took his entire life work, and he said, I'm walking away. Shem Shkabat Yischar Adrisha, Kach Eskab Yischar Laprisha. What does that show? Said this Rav to Rav Gifter. This shows that this person, his only thing he's looking for is for the truth. The only thing he's looking for is to have the proper pshat in the pasuk. Even if it means that his whole life's work will fall away, it doesn't make a difference. Only thing I want to accomplish, the only thing I want to accomplish is to do what is right and to explain the Torah in the proper fashion. When Rabbi Kiva saw this type of a behavior, he says, that's what a Talmud Chacham is. And that's what the Pasuk means, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira L'Rabbis Talmid Chachamim. Rav Meir Shapiro Zatzal says a very beautiful pshat of Pidrush in this Gemara. He says, what Rabbi Kiva means to say with Es Hashem Elokecha Tira L'Rabbis Talmid Chachamim means that we all are here to increase Yiras Shamayim. But how do we increase Yiras Shamayim? The way we increase Yiras Shamayim is by L'Rabbis Talmid Chachamim. If we bring more Talmid Chachamim to the world, if we teach Torah in the world, that's how we will accomplish L'Rabbis Talmid Chachamim. That's how we will accomplish there will be more Yiras Shamayim in this world. The Dubna Magid asks the question that essentially Rav Shimon Ram Sonny was asking. And the question is, how can we say L'Rabbis Talmid Chachamim? How can we compare the kavod that we have to show to a Talmid Chacham to the kavod to we show to our Kaddish Baruch Hu? So as the Dubna Magid always does, he gives a mashal. There was a person who was unfortunately blind, and he wasn't able to earn a living, have money to support his family where he lived. So what this individual did is that he was going to go travel to a different country and perhaps raise funds. Of course, when you're traveling overseas, you need to have a passport. This person who was unfortunately blind, aside from needing a passport, also needed to have an attendant. So he comes to the border, and they ask to show his passport. And he shows the passport. And then they ask to see the passport of his attendant. The attendant doesn't have a passport. So they tell him, well, if you don't have a passport, we can't let you cross the border. So the blind person says to them, could you please read my passport, my papers again? And he read the paper, and the paper said that this individual, the blind person, who is blind. He said, when they issued my passport, they knew I was blind. When they issued my passport and they knew I was blind, they obviously recognized that since I'm blind, I have no way of being able to travel. I have no way of traveling without an attendant. So it's obvious that my passport doesn't just cover me, my passport also covers my attendant. What Rabbi Kiva meant to say, says the Dubna Magid, L'Rabbis, it's Hashem Elokecha Tira. We're here in the world to have Yiras Shamayim. But the only way we could achieve to having Yerushalayim is by having Talmid Chachamim. They're the ones that lead us on the path towards Yerushalayim. So Sedra Bekiva, the Rabbis Talmid Chachamim, and we're going to show respect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then obviously we're going to only be able to accomplish it with showing respect, by showing respect to Talmid Chachamim. And that's why I saw the Paiskim discuss a question, the various songs that are sung often when a Talmid Chacham enters a room. Many of those psukim are psukim that speak about the respect we show to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's known that the Chofetz Chaim would be very upset when those types of psukim were sung about him. But there are those that take a more lenient approach, because like we just learned, the way to reach Yerushalayim is only through Talmid Chachamim. So showing respect to Talmid Chachamim is just a step towards having proper Yerushalayim. Tana Rabbanan says, the Braisa says, Obala Shanoki, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Noki Mechatzi Koifer, that a Tam doesn't have to pay Chatzi Koifer. Omer Le Rabbi Kiva, so Rabbi Kiva says, V'leyu Atza Em Mishtal Magufay. We know that a Tam only pays from the animal itself. Haviu, so bring this animal, Bez Mishamloch. Since we killed the animal, obviously, there's no way we could use it to pay for Chatzi Koifer. Amalei Rav Elazar. So Rav Elazar said to Rekiva, Kach ani be'necha, that is that what you think? Shadina v'zeh shechai mesa, that you thought that I'm explaining the pasuk about an animal that has to be killed? Ein dina el k'shemes odom api erechor or api balam. When the animal killed somebody, but we only know that the animal killed another person, because it was only an Eid Echot saying so, or the owners admit it. Ask the Gemara, stops the Gemara. Api Eidim, Api Balam, if we only know that the animal killed somebody through the admission of the owner, so ask the Gemara, that would be a case of Moed V'Knasu, because, and we know that the Halach is that Moed V'Knas is Potter. Answers the Gemara, the Sover of Elazar holds Kufr Kapora, that paying Kapora, paying kaifer is not a knas, it's a kapara. And therefore the halacha of moed b'knas would not be applicable. Tanya yidach amalei Rabbi Elazar b'kiva, kach ani b'necha shedina b'zeh shechai mesa, that I spoke about somebody, an animal that's chai mesa. Ein dini, I spoke about a case by an animal, shemiskam al harik s'behema, intended to kill an animal, and instead v'harik s'adam killed a person. Or, l'harik mitzri, intended to kill akav harik yisrael, Nefalim intended to kill a child that can't survive Aruk Ben Kayama. So we have two reasons. That's where the animal is not killed. And now we need to know, do you pay Kaifer? And the Gemara is teaching us that a Tam doesn't pay Kaifer. So we have two answers. What are the case where we were discussing? Was it through an Erechre or Balim? Or was it the answers that we just gave? Ask the Gemara, Hai Amal Liberation. Which of these two answers was given first? The second teretz was given first. The order of the Gemara is that was the first teretz. The second teretz was given first. How do we understand that? He says, Moshel, it be understood with an analogy of the tzayit sheshal dogim in the yam. Somebody's catching fish from the sea. Mishkakach ravarei shakal. When he takes big fish, he takes it. Zudri shakal. And he takes small fish. There's still room in the barrel for them. He takes them as well. And therefore here, he said the better teretz. Because on the first teretz, the Gemara asked the question. On the second teretz, there is no question. So he said the second teretz was the better teretz. And then he also offered the first teretz. He finds small fish, he takes them. And then when he finds big fish, he throws out the small fish, which are not as valuable, and takes the big fish. In other words, what he means to say is, if he had the second teretz, which there are no questions on the second question, second teretz, why would he offer the first teretz, which comes with questions on it? It must be that he offered the first teretz, and then there was a question on it, and then he gave the second teretz, which is question free. The way to explain this Gemara is that the Gemara means to say that the issue here was, did he find, this is the way many Rishonim explain, did he find the question on the first teretz a compelling question? If the pshat is that he finds it as a compelling teretz, if the pshat is that he finds it as a compelling teretz, so that's why he looked for a second teretz. If not, not. The Mefarshim give a beautiful pshat in this Gemara. He says that we're learning from here these two answers that the Gemara just gave are two different approaches of how we're supposed to learn. The Rav Kahana was speaking about a person whose barrel has room for the big fish and the small fish. And what he was trying to teach us was that even though you have a person who's a big Talmud Chacham and is able to accomplish much in his learning, his obligation is to still review what he learned. And that small fish, which is ready tired that he learned, he should keep on learning. The Rav Tavyumi speaks about a person who, what is the obligation? What is the ultimate obligation we're supposed to have from all of our Torah learning? The ultimate obligation, he says, we're supposed to have from all of our Torah learning is that we should know what the halacha is. And therefore, he felt we should look for the answer, which is the most sound answer, la halacha, and the other answers and the other parts of the learning are not what we should be focused on.